So, the definition, apparently, of wisdom, this is just sort of the mini dictionary definition, is that wisdom is experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So I think we picked up on some of that as we went round. Somebody said, Louis, you said knowledge, didn't you? It's about knowing things. We talked about knowing what to do. You know, that's judgment, isn't it? Experience as well. I guess that's implied with this idea that if you're old, you're wise. You've had experience. You've been through certain things, and hopefully you've learnt from them. We can also learn from other people's experience. It might not have been something we've been through ourselves, but other people have been through it, and they've passed on their wisdom to us, their experience. They've said, well, when I did this, this went so, you know, my advice to you would be dot, dot, dot. Of course, we get that in Scripture, don't we, in the Bible, because we've got all this history of people trying to live out their lives for God, trying to do this difficult thing of God, the divine, the God of the universe, having relationships with us as human beings. And as we look through the Bible, we've seen that that's been a difficult journey, but we can learn from their wisdom. And of course, that's what we're all about. So experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So we've talked about experience. Knowledge is about learning. Often we think about how we learn things. Also, it's about understanding, because sometimes you can learn something, you can learn facts or figures, but there's a deeper thing going on when you really understand it. So it's, we tend to think that's going on up here, don't we, in the mind. And then maybe good judgment, we could maybe relate that a bit lower down to do with our heart. That idea of what is right and wrong, there are some things which we might have been taught. There's other things which just seem to be intuitive, don't we? Talk about our conscience. We just have a sense that something is right or wrong, and I believe that's given from God, because we're made in His image. And so, and that can go kind of haywire in the complications of life, but actually there's something deep in us that knows about right and wrong. So these three things are the definition of wisdom, but I'd say these three things are essential for life. That we need wisdom in order to make good decisions, and we're making decisions all the time, right from the smallest thing about what we're going to wear today to the biggest things about our life. You know, decisions about finance and about work and our family and the future and relationships. For most of what we face in life, we need wisdom. We need to make good decisions. And in order to do that, we need experience, knowledge, and good judgment. In other words, we need wisdom. Now, a proverb is simply a wise saying. A proverb is a wise saying. So can anybody think of... I'm going to use the microphone again. Can anybody think of any wise sayings that you know? Little sayings that maybe your grandma told you or anything. Anybody got any little wise sayings? I've got one over here. Have you got one, Ted? No?
My nana always says, it doesn't cost anything to be kind.
It doesn't cost anything to be kind. That's a good one, isn't it? It doesn't cost anything to be kind. Yep.
This one's a bit confusing, but be cruel to be kind.
Be cruel to be kind. Sometimes you need to be cruel to be kind. You need a bit of discipline in order to actually show kindness and show somebody the way. That can be true, I think, can't it? Some instances. Can we pass the microphone down?
A stitch in time...
It's time saves nine.
Okay, I'll repeat that because I think the microphone cut out. Oh, a stitch in time saves
nine.
I don't know that one. What does that mean? Nine. What's nine got to do with it?
Oh, it saved you nine. I see. See that? I'm not very wise. Just this one. Okay. Oh, here we go. We've got another proverb, another saying of it.
Be nice to people.
Be nice to people. That's a good one, isn't it? A nice, simple one. Be nice to people. Yes?
Birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah, that's a good old one, isn't it? Birds of a feather flock together. Yes.
Look before you leap.
Yes.
Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Yeah, too many cooks spoil the broth.
My gran, who used to come here, used to say, closed mouths don't get fed.
Closed mouths don't get fed. Ah, okay. That's a good one. Oh, got some more hands up, Kirsty.
Yeah. I think there's one where... you'll think, look, focus on the here and now. and let the future look after itself.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah.
Think before you speak.
Think before you speak. Yeah, that's a good one. Martin, think before you speak.
Yes.
Remember that last
yes.
one?
Yes.
I don't know what you're about to say. Yeah, sounds like you're going to
be well, so yeah, look before it. I was just going to say, don't eat yellow snow.
Don't eat yellow snow. That's yeah. That's good advice. Is it? Maybe he's speaking from experience there.
Look after your pennies, and the pounds will look after themselves.
Oh, Louis, you're so wise. You're so wise.
No little is wasted.
No little is wasted. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, you're making me run right to the back, aren't you, people? Here we go. Words of wisdom from you.
From my mum. Little birds in a nest must agree, otherwise they'll fall out.
Ah, that's good. I haven't heard that one, but it's very good.
Little makeup is more.
Little makeup is more. Is that? That's what Dad says. So he only wears a little bit of makeup, your dad. Because little is more. Okay. Oh, I thought you were putting your hand up. Okay. Oh, got one more. Okay.
Nothing's lost, it's just out of place.
Nothing's lost, it's just out of place. Oh, that's a nice one, isn't it? That's good. Oh, dear, all this running around.
Little pigs have big ears.
Little pigs have big ears? What does that mean? Oh, children, as in children here. Careful what you say around children. Because I should have learnt that one already. Okay.
Yes, okay, so I didn't realise you'd think of so many. I found some, which were two wrongs don't make a right. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Better late than never. And there's no place like home. And as we've seen, people have got their own, some of which I hadn't heard before. So a proverb is simply one of those things, a wise saying. And the book of Proverbs is found in the Old Testament, so it's just after the Psalms. So if you were to open a Bible, it's pretty much in the middle. Psalms is about in the middle, but it's in the Old Testament part of the Bible. And it's a collection of sayings all about character and conduct. And they were written about in the 10th century BC. So they were written a long, long time ago. But what's amazing about these Proverbs, these wise sayings, is that they're still relevant today. We tend to think that we've changed so much, you know, we've got all this modern technology and life is just so different now than it was in the past. But actually, when you look at these proverbs, you realise that in terms of the experience of what it is to be a human being, actually some things just haven't changed. And there's real wisdom in these words, things that are relevant for us today. So, Proverbs as a book, it isn't a story, it doesn't have a beginning and an end, and it doesn't develop an argument like many of Paul's letters in the New Testament develop an argument, and they're systematic and they work on top of each other. The Proverbs is more of a collection, just like the Psalms is a collection of poems and song words and lyrics. So Proverbs is a collection of all these wise sayings that some of, you know, like the sort of thing we've been saying, that have been collected together in one book. And as I say, Proverbs is all about how to gain wisdom, how to live well in God's world. So these wise sayings are collected in the Bible to help us to navigate through the ups and downs and the highs and lows of life. They offer us wisdom for the whole of life. In the New Testament, in James 1, verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So the promise there is that if you search for wisdom, then you'll find it. If you ask God for wisdom, he will want to give that to you, because it's a good thing and he wants you to have it. This morning's reading, we heard the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, for doing what is right, just, and fair. So that tells us what wisdom is all about. Instruction on how to behave, how to live in a way that is right, just, and fair. In other words, how to live well. It's what we all want. We all have a sense somewhere deep in us about what is right and wrong. But life is complicated, isn't it? Relationships are complicated. Our own thoughts and desires are complicated. So we need help. We need guidance. We need wisdom. Now, wisdom is a fundamental attribute to God. It's a key to who God is. He is wise. He is wisdom. If we look at these three things about experience, knowledge, and good judgment, we could say that, well, God has all of those things. God is omniscient, so he's all-knowing. He knows everything. He's omnipresent, so he's everywhere all at once. It's hard for us to get our heads around that, isn't it? But because he knows all and sees all, he's there. He's therefore in the best position to have good judgment. That's why one of the roles of God is to be judge. Because when we're judging, when we're making a decision, we might only have half the information, or one side of the information, or one little bit of the information. We only have maybe our experience or this moment right now. But when God judges, God sees all and knows all. So he's perfectly qualified to be the judge. So the definition of wisdom, experience, knowledge, and good judgment, we could say, is one of the definitions of God. In this morning's passage, it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because we're told that knowledge and wisdom are connected. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? When we think about the word fear, we might think about monsters, scary monsters under our bed, or we might think about fear of the dark or fear of spiders. But fear in this context isn't about terror. It's not about something that you would run away from. It's about having a healthy sense of awe and reverence. So fear in this context, in relation to God, is about having awe and reverence. And you can see how that's connected to the word fear, but not maybe in the way that we would use it today. It's about knowing your place in the universe. It's about realizing, I am not God. That might be news to some of you. You are not God. But the funny, interesting thing is, I think we're being told, particularly by advertising, that we are God. You know, you are worth it. Is that Timothée or L'Oreal or something? You are worth it. And the reason they're telling us that is because they're saying, spend your money how you want to. Spend it on the things that we're telling you you need. You are God. You're in control. You know, it's your device. It's your thing. It's your money. You spend it how you want. So we're kind of being told that we're God all the time. But actually, we need to know that we're not God. I don't get to decide what's right and wrong. That's God's job. Therefore, I need to humble myself. You can see how so much can get lost in this translation of fear, because it's about awe rather than terror. So awe would be a better translation. This awe and reverence puts you in your place and puts God in his place. And that's why worship is so important. The word worship could be broken down as worth-ship. If you think about a ship, what does a ship do? It takes you somewhere, doesn't it? And we're thinking about worth, about giving God his worth. And worship, that ship called worship, is the vessel we get on in order to take us to that place whereby we see who God is, and in doing that we also see who we are. If you think that you're God, then you're too big for your boots. It's another proverb, isn't it? Being too big for your boots. But not only are you too big for your boots, but you're carrying too much on your shoulders as well. Because you were never designed to carry that level of responsibility. You're not meant to be God. Or maybe you've made someone else God in your life. And they can't carry that responsibility either. They will let you down. And that's not their job. That's not who they're meant to be. That might be somebody famous, or it might be somebody in your life who you're idolizing and you're looking to be God. But they can't be God. Only God can be God. One part of wisdom is about letting go of things that we can't control. I think that so much of human stress is caused by us wanting to control and shape things that we were never meant to. We need to let God be God. We need to let the tension fall out of our jaws and our shoulders. Generally, as human beings, that's where we carry tension, in our jaws and our shoulders, and we need to let it go. It's a physical thing as well as a spiritual thing, of breathing deeply and letting God be God. Wisdom is about having a relationship with God each day, so that we look to him and his wisdom when we're trying to navigate through this thing called life. And of course, we know God. The way we relate to God is through Jesus. We have that centrally in the middle of our building, saying it's all about Jesus. Our connection with God is through this person, Jesus. So in the Old Testament, we're told that Solomon is the king of wisdom. But in the New Testament, in Matthew 12, it says Jesus is described as being wiser than Solomon. And this would have been really shocking to the people who were hearing this and who knew the Proverbs and knew all about the history of Solomon, to say that Jesus is wiser than Solomon. In fact, Jesus says this himself. And the Message translation of this passage says that Jesus declares, "Wisdom far greater than Solomon's is right in front of you." So Jesus is saying, wisdom is right in front of you, not in a book that you can read or some history that you can pick up on, not just in a collection of wise sayings, but in a person that you can know. That's what's unique about Jesus, is saying this wisdom isn't just something you read, this is a person you know in the person of Jesus, somebody you can relate to. If we go back to that definition of wisdom, experience, knowledge, and good judgment, we can relate that to Jesus. We're told in Revelation 21 that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He always was and he always will be. And then in Colossians chapter 1, it says this: "The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and powers, rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So if we're looking for wisdom, if we're looking to navigate our way through life, to understand what the decisions we should be making in order to understand ourselves better, we need to look to God. And we need to recognize, through worship, recognize who he is and who we are. And sometimes that can feel like, well, God is amazing and all-powerful and I'm nothing. But the amazing thing is that we're made in God's image. And God chooses to use us as part of his plan. And now we're only a small bit of that. That's kind of reassuring, isn't it? It doesn't all rest on our shoulders. But even though we're a small bit of it, we are part of it. God is doing this amazing thing throughout history and is inviting us all to be part of that. We need wisdom. We need it to live well. And Jesus is the key to wisdom. It's about knowing him and also being known by him. So let's pray and ask God for more wisdom and more of Jesus. Lord, as we begin this journey exploring the book of Proverbs and looking at wisdom for the whole of life, we want to invite you into our lives to help us to navigate the ups and downs and the highs and lows, to help us to make good decisions. We know, Lord, that the key to this is submitting to you, letting go of those things that we can't control, resting in your presence, knowing that we're your children and that you love us, and looking to you when it comes to making decisions. So we pray, Lord, that in the coming weeks, as we look at this book, at this collection of sayings, that they will go deep into who we are, not just into our heads, but into our hearts, and that you would lead us and guide us on this journey of life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.